poetic, isn't it?
The inevitability of my vision. Even now, people are good. Too damn good. Thus, to protect humanity, I must protect humanity from itself. From the hearts that start dripping red at the latest token underdog. From seeing themselves in those who would use their same hearts against them. Tolerance is extinction.
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And Di.
Hello. Hello. And happy season finale X-Men 97 Wednesday.
Yeah, pretty much. It has been Gwensday. It has been Wolverine Wednesday. But now it is officially, yes, indeed, end of season one of X-Men 97 Wednesday.
My gosh.
What are we going to do?
I can say it later, but I'll say it now. I think this is the best Marvel Marvel Studios show.
Show?
To date.
Just show? Or
under the Marvel Studios umbrella?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, like, some people are like, best project in ages.
I think half of it, maybe a quarter to half of it, is the nostalgia factor of it.
Sure.
But I think the other half is definitely like doing these characters justice.
Yeah.
Staying true to the X-Men lore, mm-hmm. the animation, and mm-hmm. the stories.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're obviously going to get into it, because if you haven't noticed the title by now, this is mini Marvel number 14, where we usually talk about the broader Marvel universe and the MCU's hottest topics, we're actually going to, I mean, this is like going to be 98% X-Men, so, which is
97% X-Men. And the other 3% will just be me and Di saying, Gene!
Scott!
Nathan!
Charles.
Magnus.
Why you guys say it like that?
Dude, that's how he said it. Magnus, come back to me.
Oh my God.
Like, come on.
So good. It's so fantastic. Oh my gosh. So yeah, but yeah, if you couldn't tell by now, X-Men, all things X-Men, and also, yes, of course, spoilers galore.
Oh yeah.
Very quickly, let's barrel through these other things that are not X-Men related. I wanted to start with this great announcement that I and my friends from a previous convention circuit job that we used to do, we've officially launched this new company called Kinetic Collectibles. And so we are doing focused on creator first representation. So a lot of the same stuff I was doing before, where I'm going to conventions and assisting all of these wonderful comic book creators that we know and love at shows across the nation. So check us out, Kinetic Collectibles. I'm the creative director. It's cool stuff.
Nice.
I'm very excited. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Hell yeah.
We just want to do good things for great people. So check us out. But yeah, as far as the Marvel Universe is concerned, I'm continuing my Spider-Man Monday journey. And we just finished the Andrew Garfield sequels.
Yeah.
And so, fantastic. It is a Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is definitely not as, it still holds up in a few ways, but it is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly, probably more jam-packed than Spider-Man 3, which is a lot for me to say.
Yeah.
But I do still love those two films, the amazing films. I love Andrew Garfield. He is my Spider-Man, I think.
Nice.
And, you know, Emma Stone.
Underrated Spider-Man,
oh, very
for sure.
Underrated. He's so good. He is very different, but he's very good, especially at being Spider-Man. So, yeah, next time you hear from us, I'll have almost completed the series and just have the Tom Holland films next.
Oh, that's right.
Going in it. Homecoming. And related in Spider-Man news, Nicolas Cage has officially been announced as Spider-Man Noir in the live action series launching on Prime Video. Thoughts?
I think that's interesting. On Prime.
Let me just say, Spider-Man Noir is supposed to be 19 years old.
Oh. Yeah.
He's like one of the youngest
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Really?
Peter Parker. I think it's because Spider-Man.
Was it live action?
It's live action.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. I was excited, and then I was like, wait, is it live action?
I think it will be, but I think he's just going to have the mask on.
I feel like the same. And then, but then that just means...
Because his voice was so good for Noir.
Sure.
Like, that's why you have to give this to Nicolas Cage.
Sure. Yeah, and I think it's also like a Mandalorian situation, perhaps, where it's not him doing
all the
any
time.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but we'll see. I hope they do the really, really... gnarly story, which is the second arc, Eyes Without a Face.
Do you think is it a movie?
It's a series. It's a series. So, but there's two arcs. The second one is definitely gritty. Because again, it takes place in the Depression era.
The Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
So 1920s New York.
Yes, that's why he speaks the way he speaks.
I mean, it's
doing
great.
The Bogart.
Yeah. It's iconic.
it's truly iconic. And so in the second, the first one is great. Second one is even crazier. Felicia Hardy's a main player in it. She gets her face cut off. It's great.
Oh.
Yeah. Eyes Without a Face.
That's
yeah, it's Felicia Hardy.
Frightening.
It's so good. I hope they do it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm open-minded. Nicolas Cage. We'll see.
Hopefully I mean, like I said, like if it's just his voice,
yeah,
then sure,
yeah,
because we obviously he wears a mask,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's just yeah, the IP is confusing me because it's on Prime Video,
exactly. It's very convoluted.
Like, is it Spider-Man? So that's a Sony,
yep,
property,
yep,
but being distributed on Prime,
yep,
because Sony has literally nothing else.
Because also it's live action, so. That's part of it, I think.
Yeah.
But another day.
Like, this is just me shooting at something out there that I feel like Sony, they're just looking at all the successful characters from the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what can we take from here?
They're throwing Spider-Man spaghetti at the wall. And they're like, what would
they're
stick?
Like, can we do Spider-Ham?
Don't whisper it into the ether. It'll happen. I wouldn't mind that, though, because John Mulaney.
I mean, he's hilarious. Live action?
Ooh. No. Like, can you imagine? Like,
that'd be
again,
hilarious.
A Roger Rabbit style.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Don't ask me why my hands are wet.
You sound so much like him. It's great. So we'll see how this lands. Of course, we get Kraven before any of this goes into motion. So this might be scrapped this time next year.
I don't want to talk about Kraven.
So we won't. We're going to move on. For those of you who did not keep up with Disney Upfronts, which happened earlier this week, the studio brought some good news as well as trailer footage, which has miraculously not leaked yet.
Hey man, they got snipers in any Disney event.
Digital, the DMCA's and the
yeah.
Holy smokes!
It's so funny when like because I do like get like those. I follow some of those update like Twitters or whatever.
Sure.
And it's always like this is the trailer foot what they showed like described.
Yeah.
And it's just like this is so funny like like. Yeah. I'm like, damn, I'm reading what they showed in the trailer.
The Deadpool one was really funny. I don't know if it was from this one. I think it was CinemaCon or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Deadpool looks to the camera and then
yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah,
I get it. I'd just rather wait for the trailer.
Yeah.
But they had some great news about Daredevil, Born Again, Agatha All Along, and Ironheart. And they did release that. Yeah, I mean, obviously all the stars were there, like the key stars at least. And they did release the information that Ironheart will officially release in 2025 with 6 episodes. Starring, of course, Dominic Thorne from the Marvels. I almost like, no, not the
Wait,
Marvels.
No, the Marvels. Black
Wakanda
Panther.
Forever.
Wakanda Forever.
It's been a while since we've seen her. A year? Is that a year? Holy smokes. Guys.
Yeah.
Woo! What is time? And then, of course, Daredevil Born Again is set for a March 2025 release of 18. So this is the part where people seem to be concerned and or confused. originally they had said it was going to be 18 episodes.
Yeah.
Now people are like, it's 9 episodes. But then Wikipedia has cited, it says...
But they never said how many seasons of it.
Right, which is a caveat. But I'm like, 18 episodes divided into 9 halves. I don't understand what that means. But that is quite literally what it says on Wikipedia.
I mean, it's probably... It probably got approved for 2 seasons.
It has to. It has to. Yeah. Be that, or it's like a mid-season cut off.
Yeah.
I whatever. But 18 episodes. Hopefully they're following through with that. They presented a new logo, not only for Daredevil but also Ironheart. Yeah, down for it. It is a it's a classic logo once again. They're just essentially rotating through actual comic book logos. Just
yeah.
Maybe hopefully this one's finalized. It features the cityscape at the bottom of the Daredevil text. Yeah, I saw a rumor that Jessica Jones might be finally making her debut in this actual series, so one could hope. Don't know. We'll see.
I know. That's all coming out like next year too.
Yeah, it's all coming up next year, but of course the first one coming through the gate, Agatha All Along, starring Katherine Hahn, dropping September 18th of this year. And crazy. I called this, Jeff. I was like, my prediction is that the minute X-Men 97 is done, boom. And then what did they do? They did it yesterday. Or we're recording on a Wednesday. So they did it yesterday.
They did do it yesterday, yes.
They dropped it.
And they're very cheeky about it, too.
It was funny.
I was like, wow, they really played the long game on all those, the name teasers.
The titles, yeah. And so I have not been in my brain whatsoever this last week. They are episode titles, correct? Or are they flubbing? I believe they're episode titles.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're episode
titles. Either they're episode titles or it literally is just like the title of the show.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Yeah.
They made it seem like who is it? Like who's responsible of creating all these different titles of the show?
Yeah.
Is that really Agnes?
Yeah.
Or Agatha?
Agatha, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So super exciting. I mean, I'm curious how this is going to unravel. Some good stuff coming out from that. Great to be excited because there weren't that many leaks from that show.
No.
Not that I recall. So some good surprises hopefully are coming down our way. But that all said, it's time. X-Men 97 time. So, there is a noticeable lull in my voice. I had the wonderful ability to see or attend the midnight screening of the finale with a bunch of fans at Scum and Villainy, along with series creator, Bo DeMeo.
Nice.
And tons of people. It was, Jeff asked me before we started recording, how was the crowd? It was quite literally packed to the gills. I don't think there was a free spot in that place at all. And there was people like sandwiched together by the time that the show was actually starting. So come midnight, everybody was like sardines in a can.
So they played it at midnight?
They kind of delayed a little bit because...
But basically they had to wait until midnight for the episode to go be live.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
And so they anticipated it to start, at... I believe they said 11:30, and then it was kind of like more of a, hey, be there by 11:30. And I figured, they'd probably have it start at 11:55 because that's when it's actually available on Disney Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they actually ended up starting the stream after because they had a Q&A with Bo and the wonderful voice actor who played Nina DaCosta. Sunspot's mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the show as well. I'm forgetting her real name right now. Forgive me. But, so she was there for a very, very brief Q&A. They wanted to call it, like a lightning round. It wasn't much of a lightning round. They did get some great questions in, though, from the audience. And so after that, they rolled it. They have 4 screens in that bar. They're fine. Like, there's one that's a wall projection, 2 that are, like, plexi TV screens and another one in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pretty much can watch it wherever you're sitting in that bar. And so it's a great time because they have, the geek food and geek drinks. And then everybody who's there is clearly a diehard in some way, because who else is going to show up to a bar off of Hollywood Boulevard at midnight?
Yeah.
On a Wednesday.
Tuesday going into Wednesday. Evening. Yeah.
And so I was there, and you know, I didn't even go to sleep until maybe 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, just cause I couldn't sleep. I was kind of on a high of sorts. And so, so my voice is kind of jacked. I might clear my throat and cough a bit, but I had a great time. It was really cool. And then, you know, speaking of the theme song, so wonderfully redone by the Newton Brothers, the minute I'd said this in another episode, Jeff, but my God, seeing it with a bunch of fans,
I can imagine,
it's so next level, because if you didn't know better and you just were walking down that sidewalk outside, you would have thought that there was that people were watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, it's that meme of like that bar with all those people cheering on when the screen comes on and people change what's on the TV.
Yeah.
That was us. And it was to this finale. And so we'll get to the finale in due time. But I did jot some notes down. I wanted to make sure that we actually called out the, because we keep talking about the animation. We keep talking about all these elements. We never find the names. But I did some digging. The animation studios that handled a large brunt of what we see on screen, Studio Mir. So Studio Mir is a Korean animation studio.
Oh.
So that explains so much about how dynamic it looks.
Yeah.
But also Tiger Animation as well. So they contributed to the traditional animation that, you know, they kind of carried over from 1992. But of course, modernized it, made it better. It's 2D animation, you know. It is what it is. But these two studios really contributed to the fluidity and the how dynamic everything looks, especially all of our favorite scenes. And then, of course, you know, lead character designer Amelia Vidal, who we mentioned previously. But I don't even know where to start really. But I'm going to just name off all these wonderful voice actors: Ray Chase, Jennifer Hale, Allison Seeley Smith, Cal Dodd, J.P. Karlinak, Lenore Zan, George Buza, A.J. Lacasio, Holly Cho, Isaac Robinson Smith, Matthew Watterson, Guy Agostini, Ross Marquand, Adrian Huff, Christopher Britton, as well as Catherine Disher, Allison Court, Lawrence Bain, Ron Rubin, and Chris Potter, who were all contributing to the main cast as well as some revivals. And of course, Theo James as Sebastian Gilberti, aka Bastion.
That guy's menacing, I'm not going to lie.
Main antagonist, yeah. This character, I mean, we can cover Bastion if you really want to. He didn't appear in the comics until 1996, and so he really does take over the grand scope of, he is the antagonist of this season, and maybe could be an overarching nemesis, depending, because, you know, as they say, you don't see the body. He could still be alive. But yeah, you know, if you haven't already, Jeff and I already spoke about the first 4 or 5 episodes, sort of, in previous episodes leading up to this one. So rewind a bit, go back to, I don't know, 676. Maybe it was our Rogue one. It was Beast or Rogue, our character study episode that we started popping off about X-Men. So rewind a bit, hear what we have to say about the first few episodes. But did you want to jump into, was it, oh, I think Remember It is a good place to start. Episode 5. Which,
damn,
by the way,
really?
Which, by the way, evidently Marvel has submitted this episode specifically for the primetime Emmys. Variety doubling down, predicting it will win.
Wow.
That is unheard of.
Variety?
Variety.
They kind of suck, but damn. That's
certified.
Yeah.
But that's a huge get if that is even remotely true. So this episode was directed by Emi Yonimura and written by Bo DeMeo. So this is, of course, the biggin. This is the halfway point of the arc, the season arc, where things start to come together. And so, of course, I had notably noticed, I mean, he's only one of my favorite characters ever, that Gambit was being pulled back quite a bit leading up. They didn't really they didn't show his powers like they were everybody else.
Mm.
Of course, my man's comes up in this episode.
He does.
Hard. He's like,
oh yeah,
killing sentinels left and right.
Yep. You're like, oh yeah, he's showing his full power.
Full potential.
Hell yeah.
He did everything but do this incredible thing that we will eventually talk about, where in the comics, he can look at something long enough and it just goes.
Wow.
Explodes. So I was like, dang, he's almost there.
Yeah.
Almost there. But of course, inevitably, Jeff, what happens?
He dies.
He dies. I can't.
With honor.
With great
It was a noble
honor.
Death.
Incredibly noble. Yeah. And so,
but he died.
And so, yeah. So the fact that they're using this episode specifically as an entry into award season.
I definitely think it's worth it.
Holy smokes.
Because I think the emotional weight alone of just that last 10 minutes of that episode.
Yeah.
It's just like.
If even
like from the time when Genosha gets attacked and to Gambit's sacrifice to Rogue's
reaction,
holding him in his arms, cuts to black.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're left like speechless.
Yeah.
Like even I was like, whoa, this is like on par of.
Yeah.
It's on par with like when Iron Man died and like just like the visceral like reaction you get to like, oh, like it's someone's dying.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. And you know? In such an exquisite way.
It's like Pepper saying bye to Tony and then Rogue saying bye to Gambit and then Rogue's pretty much like arc throughout the rest of the show is based off
of that one sequence, that one loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so incredible because, again, you know, we mentioned how they're really playing with the dynamics of sound and music or lack thereof. And they did that, especially like the two key points of silence in that episode are Magnus throwing the train or whatever it is, the cart at the Sentinel.
Yeah.
And he's having the flashbacks. And then, of course, at the end, Rogue. And her final line.
Yeah.
Saying,
I can't feel you, cuts to black.
Yeah.
Or it cuts to black, I can't feel you. Gambit's, the name's Gambit.
Yeah.
Mona, remember it. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then Rogue saying that, saying his name was Gambit.
Yep.
Remember it, fighting Bastion. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, ooh, girl.
I know.
With tears in her eyes.
I know. She's passionate. Passionate.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely incredible. The sacrifice and what that really lays into the storyline of all those mutants dying on Genosha. Many of them very notable too, because you know, like Leech, for instance, he was pretty, I wouldn't say pretty prominent, but he's been in many forms of this franchise.
Yeah.
He was in the live action for a hot minute.
Mm.
And he was through and through in X-Men 92, you know, here and there in episodes riddled within the entire series pre-97. So, you know, like losing all these characters that actually have some substance is kind of like, damn. But that's kind of what I do appreciate about that is that you really get the breath of like, no, they are not playing around because... I, of course, for obvious reasons, but like many people that are watching the show and vocal on social are like, so is he coming back? Is he coming back now? He's coming back now, like literally every week. And so when that finale played out the way it did before.
Not in the form that you think he is.
Before the mid-credit scene. It was like, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. He's dead. He's not coming back.
I mean, for what it's worth, I'm not very, I wouldn't say like not familiar, but I don't catch on to things that fast. So when all that ending stuff was happening, I was like, okay, what's going on? Like, and I also have captions on, subtitles, so it says who's speaking. I was like, okay, oh, Apocalypse in present day.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't catch the other one when they were in the past.
And
that's Apocalypse in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then, where Scott and Jean are in that time, wherever they got blasted to.
Yeah. 3600.
It was like 3000 BC.
Yeah. They're ahead. No, Rogue is BC. Jean and Scott are AD.
Oh, they're in the future. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, they're in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry. So then flip that.
Yeah.
So when I saw the past and the Rogue and Magneto and them are all in the past, I was like, because I didn't catch, like, I don't know that person's, or I'm not familiar with that person that they met.
Well, in your defense, they completely botched it.
Okay.
In live action. Can't even fault. Like, it's he has a very dense history. So this is a fantastic starting point for that character, because they are able to kind of give you both at the same time. You don't have to wait for one to go through in succession. Let's live out his 3000 BC life and then go forward from there. They're going to give it, it sounds like they're going to give it to you concurrently.
Yeah.
So you understand what he's gone through and why he's the way he is now.
Yeah.
But Apocalypse, in a nutshell, is the first of the second generation of mutant kind.
Okay.
So he isn't of the first run, but he is the first of the second evolutionary versions of mutants who become mutants. And so he is born in Egypt, and he's immediately outcast because of the way he looks. And that's the Ensaba Nur that we see. So imagine that, but a baby.
Oh, okay.
And so immediately they're like, he's a demon child, you know, like cast him away. And so he learns to endure. He becomes a slave. He has to endure the life that is officially cast on him simply for looking and being different. And it kind of instills in him this necessity to survive.
Got it.
So his whole shtick is survival of the fittest, survival of the fittest. And so over time, he adapts to technology. He becomes like a future standing opponent. He takes the name Apocalypse. There's all this crazy stuff. And he has his horsemen. Death, pestilence, blah, 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 blah,
so
blah.
So then in the Apocalypse present day.
Yes.
Was he just like chilling? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
He was waiting for stuff to hit the fan?
Sure, because like what it was funny because, you know, during the screening last night, when Rogue and Bastion are fighting, and she does say that, like, oh, his name was Gambit, remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she gets him into the dirt, and he crashes into these mountains.
Yeah.
Immediately, I was like, is that Apocalypse? Because his face is on one of the...
There's
a formation. It's like, it looks like old catacombs, and so if you look at it, there's a freaking face. And I was like, that's Apocalypse. And so in the mid-credit scene, that's when he does come up and you're like,
he was like, my time to shine, baby.
Basically.
It's my turn to terrorize this world.
Exactly. Because if you thought Moon Knight was touching on Egyptian lore, Apocalypse is next level. This is the Egyptian god of Marvel Universe. And so, kind of what it goes into is that he lived through his life up to 2000 AD, whatever the year is, modern times. And so with the influx of mutants coming into the atmosphere, he's then awoken from his slumber and he comes to like dominate because he is a god. He is like a Ra or, you know, like whatever Egyptian god you want to put.
Yeah, these X-Men can never rest, man.
Dude, never.
So season 2 is going to be crazy because not only are they dealing with present day Apocalypse, they got Bishop and Forge. They gotta rescue the present day X-Men in the past and the future.
Exactly.
So they're going Days of Future Past type.
Days of Future Past, which is funny because they have touched on that before in X-Men 92, but I get it that it's like different now, different circumstances, different risks, different. Everything is different now, right? So Cable made a great point in the finale where I think Bastion said, oh, how many times have you tried to save your mother?
And he said 200 times.
So you have to imagine that Bishop has had a similar thing because he is also trying to save
Because Bishop
them.
Also just been...
Gone.
Yeah, gone, surviving.
He's not been around.
Doing things.
Because
last time we saw him was when he took episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
He took baby Nathan to be saved. Like, you know, and
to the future.
So who knows, like, if he was just like, I can't go back, I gotta fight.
Yeah.
So now he's back. And
yeah,
how do you think, because I never touched on like how they got sent to those different time periods, yeah, universes.
Yeah.
How do you think they got?
I'm not sure. I feel like I should know this. I don't readily know. I mean, this could also be because I had four Fantastic Fours and I was up till four.
Nice.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic beverage.
What's
it's,
in it?
It's like peach vodka, champagne.
Okay.
Some other stuff.
Okay, that's dangerous.
And then they put rosemary and then they light it on fire. And he says, what, flame on.
Okay. I was going to say, does he say flame on when he does it?
Every time. He was like, flame on. And he did. They have these rituals. It's really funny. Every time somebody orders a Ghostbusters drink, because they're toasting the marshmallow, because it's a marshmallow man.
Okay.
They play it and everybody screams,
bum,
bum. Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Every time somebody orders that drink.
That's insane.
So every time somebody orders a flame on, flame on. Flame on.
I want there to be a bartender who's just like having a bad day and over it. Yeah. He's like, it's like, eh. Flame on. You want another one?
Yeah, it's like the flaming mo. So, yeah, I feel like I should know this.
I mean, but I don't. I hope they touch on it.
I think they will, because they are amalgamating stuff, right? Because, you know, a huge thing about the sequence of events that took place. So, you know, just a quick backtrack. Life and Death Part 2, that was the one where you actually got to meet Lilandra and the Shi'ar Empire Deathbird and her Milky Way ghetto talk. And then Bright Eyes was the one with the Gambit's funeral and Thunderbolt Ross. And of course, the iconic Captain America scene. Tolerance is Extinction Part 1 is the one where we kind of got the backstory for Bastion. And then, you know, you're introduced to Muir Island and all of that good stuff. But then in part two, yes, this is the big one where, you know, Wolverine loses his adamantium.
By the way, that guy's still on his deathbed.
It's still just, I know, I was like, poor guy, his little toesies are popping out of his boots and everything. but yeah, you know, like it's such a, I'm not sure what happened there, but at that point in part three or part two, I guess, when Charles turns on Magnus and then starts to essentially pull his psyche apart,
mm-hmm.
That's another direct panel from the same comic book that he does draw the adamantium out of Wolverine,
yeah,
that Magnus does. And so it has a different effect in the comic book. This is why you probably saw this discourse all about Onslaught and how Onslaught is this amalgamated entity that just can destroy everything and anything. And he's Magneto and Professor X together.
Yeah.
And so that did not happen. Did not happen. And in fact, Charles not only took the psyche and they were drifting in this, you know, and this analogy of a deep sea ocean flood world,
mm-hmm.
but Magneto also lost his memory. And I was like, oh my gosh, because this is also something that happens in the comics at least once.
Yeah.
And he becomes this man named Joseph. I think we talked about this in our Magneto episode. He becomes this. He takes on this persona, Joseph, because he has no identity. But they very quickly doubled back and then he became Magneto again. So I was like, oh, they're not doing any of that. So with them being time displaced, it could be a few things put together that they're just making for the sake of the storylines that they're eventually going to tackle in season two. So henceforth, why one team is in the past, one is in the very distant future, and then there is a present version. So they're doing three time streams at once, which is so nuts.
That's crazy.
But I mean, I get it, right? I totally get it. But yeah, you know, it's going to be very interesting. My immediate, you know, without much thought, the travel backwards, like you said, we're meeting in Sabanur for the first time. And so did you watch Apocalypse, the X-Men?
Yeah,
Apocalypse?
I did.
So, yeah, so I think it was at the, I forgot which, I thought it was a stinger, but maybe it was the beginning of the film. But when they're chanting, the Egyptians
yes.
are chanting, that's the name, it's his name. And I think it means something like seven something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the same characterization. So again, we're meeting Apocalypse before he becomes this mechanism, technology, combination, human thing. That's all blue. and the teams are interesting because, you know, a lot of fans are speculating, oh, is this the segue into Age of Apocalypse? Which is a whole other story.
So I've heard.
Right, because that's taking another route where they have to introduce Charles Xavier's long lost son, and then he accidentally kills his father, which then inspires Magneto to lead the X-Men. So see, we've already done that part.
Mm.
But that unfurled a whole other timeline, a whole other world where Magneto was the Professor X. And then he and Rogue get married, and then they have that baby that they name Charles. And everything is very different. And there are like 20 teams and everybody's everywhere else. And they're battling in an age of apocalypse. And so he is the anti-god, you know, or what have you, of that entire universe. So I think it's a little stretch. Like, I think they're going to play with the idea. I don't think they're going to fully do it. Because that's...
I mean, I guess we'll see too, because as of right now, because what, Bo DeMeo wrote all these episodes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and he planned, he quite literally planned for 5 seasons. So,
yeah.
Unless they have purchased these ideas from him, paid him out and said, "We're sorry, you are fired. However, here's $5 million for all your ideas that we're then maybe going to use." Who knows? But I just tell you, I'm not sure. And so there's all these prospects of like where they could go. But it is very much, even down to the look of En-Sabanur, is a direct correlation of Age of Apocalypse. So it could happen. It could happen. I guess we'll see.
Well, I think this show really put
Apocalypse.
Put him, or no, Hope just Bo. Bo in general. Yeah. Like, I think this series like really put him in like a nicer light.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, they're like yo, like if he did this with this season,
yeah,
like, and now people and fans are like, what did he do like for him to get fired before the premiere of this series?
Exactly.
Like, because it, like me, I'm like, yeah, this series is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The story, the writing, the characters, everything is like, you're invested.
Yeah,
you know, the world building, character yeah. building, and building upon from the previous seasons in 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just enough. And again, it's like, you don't have to do homework to enjoy this series, which is what I love most about it. Even though, yeah, I've gone backwards and forwards and I've gone through this entire franchise more times than I care to remember, but you don't have to. You can be a completely new watcher and get it and then piece it together yourself like anything else. You don't have to do homework, you know what I mean? I think people are so used to being like, oh, I have to watch 92. It's like, no, you don't. Like, 92 is great. It's a great supplement.
Yeah.
And so they come together very beautifully. But yeah, I'm curious. Like, is there possibility for James Gunn Part 2 where they reinstate his title?
At least just for writing.
Yeah, because, but, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
He's going to have a forever title. Like, his name is going to be on it. They have to, because
yeah.
it's no different than Stan Lee and Jack Kirby at this yeah, point.
It's obvious, like, he cares.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, he was completely raving about. He said a lot of the stuff that he was saying on Twitter, and he was live tweeting from the event. And so X-Men 25 was one of his favorite issues, as is with, you know, me and a lot of people who grew up with those comics. And so he knows what he's working with. So for him to have planned the potential of an Age of Apocalypse is not out of bounds for me. Like, it makes sense
yeah.
how he gets there, or how whoever takes on the show and the show running now That's the part that remains to be unseen. But, you know, I mean, if Bo laid it out well enough...
Who knows?
Lenore does, because she's already recording. She's recording season two already.
Wow.
Yeah, she mentioned it last week that she's doing it. So she has some idea of what's going on. I'm sure she knows all the good tea, but I don't know. I haven't been around her long enough to be like, so, girl talk, can you spill? but the other two options, of course, the modern present time apocalypse happenings. That's the big one, because again, he has horsemen, and so in the comics he has war, plague, death, and famine. And so
those are his horsemen?
Those are his horsemen's names. And so they have been different people at different points in time. At one point, Magneto was death. At one point, Archangel was war, and Psylocke was plague, or Storm was a famine. But a very obvious keynote that this is gonna include Gambit is that Gambit was indeed death in one of the iterations. And so he is this very ghastly, ghostly version of himself. And we mentioned this when we were talking about, I think it was episode 6, when Professor Xavier sees that vision of Gambit, and he's the only one among those who died in Genosha.
Yeah.
That he's a skeleton and he looks the way he does. It's not a far cry from what death looks like. He's skeletal. He is dead. He is dead. He is undead. And so his suit is white, black, gray. Just, he looks like a zombie. He's kind of like a zombie. So the fact that Apocalypse, you know, is like, what did he say? He's like, oh, so much death.
So much death, so much pain. Yeah.
And he's holding the Queen of Hearts card, which they bashed into our heads, that isn't necessarily representational of Gambit, but of Rogue, but for Gambit.
Yeah. It's like, I'm bringing this man back, yeah, baby.
Gonna bring him back. But I am also curious who else he's going to bring back. And so it could be any of the people that perished in Genosha. So if we have a death list, I think Banshee was on there. Like, you know,
Madeline?
Maybe. Nah. I think they've run her course already. She did her thing. And there's already enough Jean Grey. We got Phoenix too. Like, it's happening.
Oh, I know. God.
So I'm not sure. I would have to, I mean, but any of those people could be great candidates, you know. For the other three. So I don't know. It'd be kind of sick to see, because he's going to bring all four back. It's not just one.
Yeah.
He will have his entire horseman team. So who, how, what, where, why?
When?
We don't know.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. Death Gambit is happening, and he's gonna destroy some stuff.
Cool.
He's crazy.
Hell yeah.
And he goes after Rogue hard. Real hard. He tries to kill her. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. And then they do this whole, like, you're going to have to bleep that, but fucking Scott Summers. Fucking Scott Summers. He's like, he did in episode 6, where he's like, what, our best course of action is no action, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
In the comics, Gambit, don't go after Rogue. Remember how much you love her. And they try to do that whole thing. So I'm of course, more speculation that might be the course that they're trying to take, the inevitable, let's bring them back together, but not before he tries to kill her part. So then they're going to try and ease him into, like, reviving him. So maybe that's how they get his humanity back. Because how do you undead him if he's dead and he's literally death? So there's got to be some element. But I think the whole Phoenix pulling Sinister apart and taking the DNA...
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a bigger symbology there, because
so she murdered him, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, she also like embarrassed the heck out of him. He just ran off like a baby.
Yeah. oh yeah. No. And then Morb is a dick. I know.
So good. But yeah, like the way that Jean Phoenix, like, pulled apart his essence, like, and
pulled away all that DNA that he absorbed. Yeah.
Gambit is part of that. There's this entire segue in the comics where people are like, they're interlinked somehow. Because, you know, of course, it started with, like, oh, they both have red eyes. And it's like, okay. It takes a little bit more. Like, just because two people have the same color eyes does not mean that they're family.
Yeah.
And, like, people used to say, like, what? Are Nightcrawler and Mystique related because they're both blue? Well, yeah.
Not far off.
Yeah, they ended up being mother and son. But for Sinister and Remy, it's a little different, a little more complicated. But my standing theory, since they do not appear to be going the Krakoa rebirth in an egg thing, thank God, is that perhaps once they figure all that stuff out, they have this DNA and Gambit alive. And he's reborn. Remy! You know what I mean? And then they get married because there are all these nuances of Nightcrawler telling him, like, just marry her already. And they do get married. They're Mr. and Mrs. X in the comics. So it happens. So, yeah. But they're not going to get there in one season. It's going to take two seasons to get there because they want those watches.
Yeah.
They want the viewership. And so, and then there's the future version. So the future version, 3600 AD, whatever it is, and we're greeted by Ascani, Mother Ascani. Mm-hmm. And so did you see anything that this character might entail?
I was trying to decipher, but yeah. I
It's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut?
It's pretty deep. Okay. I mean, it was funny because, like, I was quite literally sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And they're flanked by people. And I was Leo DiCaprio that entire night. I kept slamming on the bar and I'd be like, boom. And I'd say something. Oh, and then, like, Daredevil. And then when Mother Ascani came up and people were like, who's that? I was like, Ascani! And it's like, I don't even know if it's actually her, but I said it with such, like, gusto.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I am Ascani. I was like, oh. And then Nathan shows up.
Yeah.
And he's baby Nathan. This is a very existing story. And she did have a cameo, I think in episode 1 or 2. She had a cameo. She was the woman that had the streaks on her face.
Uh-huh.
And she had red hair.
Uh-huh.
Mother Ascani.
Is, yes.
Rachel Summers.
The.
Who was the daughter of Phoenix and Cyclops.
Oh.
So
that means. Yes. Oh, that means Jean and Nate. Scott.
Yes.
Had a child.
Yeah.
Of their own at some point.
And she has. Yeah. And so. His big sister, if you will.
Oh.
I'm telling you, the Summers family is going to kill me when we get to that episode.
God, Scott, man.
Scott. That's what makes the family quotes so much more juicy for him.
Yeah.
Because if you know, you know, because there's so much.
Now that's a dysfunctional family, right?
Bro,
there.
His dad is basically Star-Lord. Like, his dad is in a ragtime, like, gang of. Like galactic miscreants, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Got it.
You add that in to a daughter who raises your future son with your wife's clone, who then dates your undead brother.
Your baby mama's clone.
Yes. Who, went evil. And oh, yeah.
Dude, what the hell?
The Summers family. It's so funny. So now we're being introduced to the future. And so they're back to the future in that now they're meeting Cable before he grows
old. Became Cable.
Yeah. And so they're leaving all these breadcrumbs of, like, you know, the diner scene of their X-Men term is, but they're telepathic rendering. They're telepathic selves.
Yes. They're telepathically talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they, saying goodbye to him.
Yeah,
yes.
I forgot what they call it in X-Men world. I can't think right now. Again, 3 hours of sleep. that, like, when Nathan says, you know, like, when people always talked about my parents, they would say how they were always saving humanity, whatever.
Yes, the stories that, like,
the stories,
I've heard. Yeah,
yeah, and that he hated hearing it, or he was so sick of it. Yeah. So we're gonna start seeing that in real time now that Scott and Jean are there, because there is I don't know if it was their very first solo, but they had a 4-issue solo series called Cyclops and Phoenix, where they go to the future and they meet Mother Ascani and they meet Nate when he's still a kid, and they raise him the way he's supposed to be raised, and then it changes the course of the entire timeline.
Dude, maybe that's what they're like.
Right. It could very well be that.
Yeah, like maybe the time that Scott thinks he's missed all that time with his son.
Yeah.
He technically didn't. He just hadn't spent that time with him yet.
Exactly right. And that could also be why Cable was like, what? What are you talking about? Yes, we did. You know what I mean? He never says it, but that's the thing. He never says anything. He's just like, my parents.
Whoa. That is...
Yeah, it's a mind trip, right? You think... Jeff's making faces that I wish everyone could see.
So it's like technically Scott never missed that time with his son.
Exactly.
They just...
Hadn't had it yet.
Haven't spent it yet.
Yeah. And now he's getting the opportunity. What I did love about that, because yes, once they send their telepathic signatures out to talk to him, and you go back to the battle, and Scott rips off his visor to go like full max, he's crying. I don't know if you see
it. Yeah, yeah.
But he's freaking crying. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. He's got a heart. He's got a daddy heart, which is nice because they made him so stoic in 92.
Mm.
Like he cared about his family, but he was just so sterile about things, I think.
Yeah.
At least from recollection. But so this one has so much heart, and the fact that he's so involved and he wants to course correct himself to be a better man and not be his father, which I do hope they bring him in again. He was in the original, but they didn't really.
Mm.
Yeah, it was whatever. But I do like Corsair. He's funny. Christopher Summers.
Mm.
So, which, by the way, my nerdom, Nathan's real name is Nathaniel Dayspring Ascanison Christopher Summers.
Jeez.
So we haven't even touched the Dayspring part, but the Ascani is for obvious reasons.
Yes.
And so she's got this entire clan of people who follow her because there is this legendary Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
And so she's an heir of that lineage.
Got it.
Which comes from the Summers family.
Yes,
So it's broken up into these three parts, and where the apocalypse factor plays into the future version, maybe that's where the Age of Apocalypse takes off. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it is in the past, but there's all these avenues. There's all these avenues. So now we're getting primed to see Apocalypse make a revival because he is in 92 quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
He really is, but they didn't go this far. And a lot of these storylines didn't happen until after 92.
Got it.
So...
Yeah, there was so many like things packed that I was trying to catch. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, so yeah.
But it's almost better that you don't know because you don't have to have that reference point. You don't think, oh, well, they didn't do it right. It's like, well, no, that's not it because perhaps they're
not
doing.
See, now I just want season two, like, I know. Like, give it to me now.
Right. Well, that's what they're trying to prepare for.
Like, what are we doing here?
Because didn't they announce that they're like, okay, yeah. Next time, this next season that rolls up, they want to release two and then they want to play it Endgame style. And immediately, maybe not a year after, but maybe 6 months after, immediately roll into season three, which is smart. Because, I mean, in all due respect, it's great that we have the series, but this series was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah.
They should have kind of got the ball rolling already.
Man, I remember when they first announced this series. Was it at Comic-Con?
Yeah, 22.
And where people are like, ooh, it's coming back. You're like, well, I wonder what it's going to be. And who you would have never expected, like,
oh, no.
This would be, mm-mm, like, the context of it.
Never in a million years. Because I was in that panel, and they brought people out from the cast and crew. I think Bo was there, too, maybe. But they showed the character designs that we all know now. And they introduced who the villains were going to be. Like, they introduced all these things. But you didn't get a lick of a sense of, like, how serious it was going to be, how dramatic. They didn't say anything about that.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, my God. It's so much crazier than I could have ever imagined.
It is crazy.
So.
Like, I'm, like.
Yeah, and that was July 2022.
Yeah.
And so they had apparently finished the series in March 2023. And it took them that long to get it through because of the strikes, because of
that's
all.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
We absolutely got nerfed. So it's like, yeah. But so hopefully, if they're already starting season two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like where's Logan? Like they didn't share where Storm.
Yeah, like, where did Storm is in the past, right?
No, they didn't show where she went. Her and Logan at least, because there's a couple people on Asteroid M.
That's true.
That they didn't show was in the past or the future.
That's true. yeah, actually, that they touch on that a little bit. Bo kind of did some Easter eggs.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because they referenced a bit of like in the future times, and they did this in 92. Storm and Wolverine are together.
Okay.
Like romantically.
Huh.
Yeah. So that might explain why that is a thing. But yeah, I can't tell you for certain.
Like, just give it to us. And like, as soon as I saw like where Rogan, or I'm sorry, where Jean and Scott, when I saw like where they were stuck, I was like, oh, where are they? And then when I saw like little Nathan come out, yeah. I was like, oh, they're going to take advantage of, because now they have a chance to raise Raven. The son, mm-hmm. their son, even mm-hmm. though it's not Jean's,
yeah.
it's not Jean's kid, but yeah. also it gives Scott the opportunity to like, oh, I can raise my child.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely gonna take advantage of that.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so we had two comments from one listener for this episode.
Yeah.
Thanks to Curly and Sangai, my dude.
Yeah.
He said his first comment in regard to the finale was a hawk. How do you even say that?
A hawk-calypse.
That is all.
Nice.
Because I guess he's steamy hot. And the past tense version is because he's in his little, like he's still flesh toned.
I mean, we only saw like his mouth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. So that's the thing. But also, he said, more seriously, hoping for more Morph storyline and also Havoc as part of the present squad. So yeah, so this is a great comment in that who is left in the present tense, right? Like we have Jubilee and Sunspot, I think it was. Right?
Yes.
Just the two of them and Forge. And so Havoc, do you know Havoc? You know Havoc, yeah? He was in the X films. Alex Summers.
Yeah, got it. Yes.
Bingo card of Summers over here. He is the little brother.
Got it.
And so, that would be cool. I wonder if they will do Morph. And also, by the way, Morph turning into Reed Richards during when everything was going to crap.
I know, that was funny.
I saw somebody on Twitter like tweeted Bo and was like, why was Mr. Fantastic there? And he was like, yo, that was Morph. Kind of like, my guy, are you paying attention?
Come on.
Come on. And also, like you mentioned earlier, speaking of Morph, Bo tweeting in confirmation.
Oh, yeah. That Morph is indeed. I literally have Bo's Twitter up.
Yeah.
He says, he also retweeted a reply, really hilarious, where it says, so the caption is Morph, Storm, and Wolverine in another time. And it's a picture of that scene from Challengers where it's Zendaya and the two guys.
Yes.
And it's Morph, Storm, and Wolverine.
Oh my gosh. Which I've already seen as Jean, Wolverine, and Cyclops. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh God.
And then Bo confirming, yes, Morph was confessing romantic feelings for Logan.
Amazing. Oh my God. That's so good. I get it. They were best buds in 92. Morph. He constantly call for him, and then when he died, he left Morph.
Bo was saying like,
I totally get it.
Like, but like Logan thinks they're just really good friends, but Morph is the one that's like,
he's actually
like, yeah.
Sorry, they're into
He's into Logan, yeah. Like loves Logan. Yeah. I mean, before we get into the predictions for next season, can we talk about all the cameos?
Bruh.
at the last part of the episode.
So speaking of my Leo DiCaprio real quick.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to beat me again.
Uh-huh.
Every time somebody showed up, I slammed my hand on the counter and I said, fuck, 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 Daredevil, fuck. It was such a good night. Like it was such a great.
I could imagine. I think because I was
dork.
Because I was lying. I was watching it lying down.
Yeah.
And like episode, you know, I'm like, all right, here we go, here we go.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, stuff starts hitting the fan. And then, and I see all these cans, and I was just like, oh!
But...
Oh!
What I appreciated is that it wasn't a one take that in the previous episode, in part two, you know, how we did get those cameos. That wasn't it. They actually come back to it.
Yeah.
And they continued
it. I think that's also the beauty of animation.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You can't like, none of them had really any speaking lines.
They had none.
Like, yeah. you just pop them in. You're kind of like, oh,
Cap,
like,
is the only one that actually spoke.
Which one?
Cap.
Yeah.
And T'Chaka.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, Iron Man, Cap. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And then I saw the man, Matt Murdock himself.
I know.
I was like, oh, and my God.
Twice. Which is even better.
Twice.
Showed him up front. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And then he came back again. I had to look it up or figure it out who was. Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger, yeah.
Saved him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. T'Chaka.
T'Chaka, yeah. Which is interesting. Yeah, because it's a cape.
Yeah,
cape,
but I didn't even notice Peter and MJ.
Peter and MJ.
I didn't even notice that.
Nobody, that's funny. Nobody in the, well, at least nobody around me in the bar noticed, but I noticed her because of her outfit.
Oh, really?
I was like, MJ? Like, really? Yeah. Loud. I was like, MJ? And everybody was just in so much awe. It was almost quiet because everybody was like,
because you didn't want to miss all these.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
Oh, and then Doctor Strange operating with his. I was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's cool. Like, that's what people want.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is the Marvel Universe that everybody has imagined.
Yeah, like, that's what people want in a live action film. Mm-hmm. But I'm also like, dude, that's so hard to do in live action.
Yeah, and it. I mean, like, of course, Endgame and Infinity War are obviously, like, these incredible achievements.
Yeah, but that's a perfect storm and a perfect time of scheduling,
exactly.
Working.
Exactly. Right.
You know? Yeah. But, like, with animation, like, you can just, like, oh, yeah, let's just draw them in and drop them in.
Well, this is where the beauty of Larry Houston, who is the, I forgot his direct title, but I believe he was the producer of the original series, where, you know, Mr. Larry he's also a huge fan. He is basically the OG Bo DeMeo, right?
Yeah.
Where he would outfit all these cameos just because he wanted them for his own satisfaction. So when you watch X-Men 92, you'll see characters pop in and out. They have no lines, but they're there just for, like, ha-ha, Elektra. Yeah. You know what I mean? He puts them in constantly, and so they're doing it again. But the craziest part of them doing it again is that these are actually call-outs to the existing 92 of that
era
that
time,
or like in Spider-Man's case, 94. Like, it's a direct correlation, because at the end of the series, MJ gets lost. She's lost in, you know, Madame Web has displaced her, whatever the story Madame Web comes on back. I forgot she was in it. Yeah, so MJ is displaced somewhere, and so when she showed up, and I'm sure you can see it, I think Bo mentioned it, because somebody was like, oh, what's your favorite cameo? He was like, Mary Jane. Which is like, oh, okay. And so somebody's like, oh, he found Mary Jane.
Yeah, that's what people were saying on Twitter.
And so, yeah, so Pete and MJ are there, and who else was it?
It was a lot.
Trask, and so Trask, he's there. He's there, and he's voiced by the original Morph, Ron Reuben. It's so much, but in a good way, in a great way. That's like, wow. Okay, and again, you don't have to know that there was an Iron Man cartoon in 1993 or 1995, whatever it was. Didn't do so well. Don't really talk about it too much. But but I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't have to know that to get that, like, Iron Man's there. Everybody knows who Iron Man is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it works out for everybody. Cameos like that.
Who else? Psylocke.
Real Psylocke.
Yeah, real Psylocke.
She had her powers going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was with the Canadians.
Yes.
And so Puck was there.
Okay.
North
Puck,
Star.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Puck.
Wow.
North Star. And then I forgot the other girl. And then, of course, Omega Red, protecting their president. And he was with I forgot the Russian character's name, but she wears the black and yellow. And then I think Silver Samurai was the very first cameo. Again, he was in the last one, but they showed him standing on the cliff before they cut to Daredevil. And he was overlooking Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Japan.
Yes.
Yeah, he was overlooking Japan. And so, yeah, all these perspectives and all these, like, everybody is witness is bearing witness to this event happening in the sky. Such a good
dude. That was really so good. I was good. Like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, and of course Christopher Daniel Barnes, who voiced Peter Parker in Spider-Man in Amazing Spider-Man 94, everybody's like, have you been contacted yet? And he's like, no, I haven't. Which, by the way, I think I told you this. He plays Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid.
Wow.
Yeah. He's fantastic. And so he is not, or so we think, or so we heard, has not been contacted. I personally don't think they're going to do it. And you know why? Because they have that Spider-Man Daredevil show coming out. So
maybe, yeah, not wrong.
Sad but true. They're not going to double down on that.
Yeah.
But now they're probably thinking, ah, shoot. We probably, you know, we should probably reevaluate here. But yeah, it's amazing cameos though. So good.
Dude, yeah. It was exciting. I was like, ooh. Okay.
Jiggling your shoulders.
Dude, excited. So excited.
Yeah. So what a finale.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic finale. Pretty much satiated. I was obviously sad because it kind of panned out the way I expected. Mm. In all honesty, I did not for an instant think it was going to be actually a happy ending. I was like, no, there's no winning here. This is what's going to go down.
Yeah.
I was just like, I hope they don't all die. that was pretty much my only wish.
Died enough.
You would say that. And so once Asteroid M obliterated, I was like, oh crap. But again, we were served three delicious plates of apocalypse.
Pretty much. Like, damn, they blew up Asteroid M and it sent them to different times.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, okay, what happened?
Well, so there's probably
like, is it the core? Else. Was it the core in the asteroid that did something? Like,
yeah.
Like, did someone come in and swoop them? And right. I'm like, come on, man.
Because I rewatched it before you got here. And I rewound. And mind you, this is the only episode I've seen twice. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I saw one.
You saw episode 5.
Yeah. I only saw episode 5 once.
So you saw Gambit die twice?
Once.
You skipped it.
Okay. But I've seen that clip just before it blows up.
Yeah, true.
Remember it. I've watched 1, 2, and 10 twice.
Okay.
And so I kept rewinding it just to see. I was like, what is happening here? And yeah, it just like kind of like, and the fact that they also show it from three different perspectives is interesting because they want you to understand like, from Jubilee's perspective, from blah blah blah,
from the ground,
yeah,
from government,
overhead.
And the government, yeah,
the government, yeah, and so you look at it, it just doesn't, it looks like it spontaneously combusts,
just disintegrates type of thing.
Yeah,
it's so reminds bizarre. Me of Age of Ultron, like scenario.
I mean,
like when they tried to blow up the what is the name of that country?
Sokovia.
Yeah.
I mean, Sokovia, they kind of stole. I mean, speaking of Asteroid M, like that is a straight up lift from Asteroid M. It's like, yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait, this looks a lot like yeah. Sokovia. Like, and yeah, then like even Rogue doing the going under, trying to stop it. It like reminded me
of Tony Stark
of Iron Man going. I was just like, my millennial ass was like, I was like, oh my God, they're taking this from Age of Ultron. And I'm like, no, this definitely was first.
And reverse it.
This definitely came first.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy, right? It's crazy to think about. And you're like, oh my gosh. But fun fact, when my friends and I were young, like I want to say like I'm talking like 15 years old, we had dreams of like opening our own comic book store.
Mm.
And my friend Chris was like, what if we named it Asteroid M?
Oh my gosh.
I was like, okay. He wanted to go like, and we had like ideas of what it would look like.
Yeah.
And it would look like it was like gravel outside. Uh-huh. It was part building, sure. Part.
Of course.
And it was going to be sick, but never happened. But hey, it's never too late to start, right? Hey Chris, if you're listening, let's get on it. So yeah, I guess that's it. And we'll see what happens and what transpires, and but certainly not until next year in the very least. I don't think, even if they are full steam ahead into season two, we're not going to see anything until maybe
end of next year.
They're actually pretty jam packed next year.
I was gonna say so much sooner. Because thinking from a marketing...
Oh, sooner? Well, I mean, because it, you know, animation.
It's animation, yeah. I was thinking from a marketing perspective. So if Daredevil, imagine if you will, here's the timeline. September 2024 is Agatha. And so you have essentially October through December. January, if you're being generous, there's nothing there. What goes there?
At the top of the year?
So...
At the top of next year?
No. Well, yeah, end of this year into next. So I'm like Captain America. So Captain America is going to come in, fill that marketing timeline. After Captain America, they have a little tiny bit of room for maybe Deadpool digital home release. And then they're going to backflip into Daredevil.
Because they have 3 movies next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then 2 shows at least.
Yeah.
And that's where they wanted to kind of keep their limit.
Right. So they're gonna.
But animation, I feel, falls differently because they can release What If.
No, like, and that's exactly right. I think they're gonna drop What If sometime before Agatha to kind of keep the dream alive a little, because they have nothing right now. They don't have anything. They have nothing.
So you have nothing. Nothing.
We could get a What If teaser next week for all we know. Honestly. You know what I mean? And so then it's Agatha. Then I'm gonna say Captain America 4. Then we're going to get Daredevil, and then Daredevil full steam ahead. They're going to go Iron Fist. Iron Heart. And then somewhere we're going to get a little bit of X-Men, but they're going to go full deep in, you know, like into whatever big film is next after Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts is going to come
next year, yes.
Thunderbolts is going to come right before Daredevil, and then Daredevil's going to go, and then Thunderbolts comes right out the gate. Yeah. And then X-Men is somewhere. So maybe we're projecting a summer promotional release, which would be next Comic-Con for X-Men Season 2. Prediction.
Oh, because Fantastic Four comes out next year too, right?
Fantastic Four is July as well. Oh my God. Yeah. Which is flanked by Superman, by the way.
Oh, man.
So James Gunn's going to come out.
Damn, that was going to be Marvel versus James Gunn.
I know, dude. So yeah, it's going to be jam-packed. So Daredevil's really the warm-up kid. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, dude, it's going to be insane. So somewhere, depending on how their television and animation schedule goes.
And depending, because like obviously Marvel's gonna see like, oh, this series did phenomenally well.
Oh yeah. So 98% standing on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. So it's like they want to give it to the people as soon as they can, but make sure it still has the same like quality. But
they can't mess this up.
Yeah.
If they mess it up, no one will forgive them.
Yeah. And it's like, well, and you already kind of fired, you know, the person responsible.
The creator of the show. Like,
so it's kind of like, what did he do? Like, at least give us, the fans, like, reason.
Yeah.
You know?
The fact that Cold fired him is so concerning.
Like, what? Like, is it so explicit that what he, like, this is me being nosy, but it's just like, he gave you this.
Yeah.
He gave you arguably, probably, your best project in the last 5 years.
At least.
I mean, at least post-pandemic.
Guardians 3.
Arguably one of the greatest projects.
Here's a better phrasing. One of the greatest original projects in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a better phrasing. Original.
Yeah, like...
Guardians doesn't count. It's a sequel. So I give it that much credit. Like, it's not fresh.
Arguably the best, one of the best Marvel shows in this.
By far.
Yeah.
Ever. Probably ever.
Yeah.
Actually.
And I love the shows that they did, like, post, you know, like when they started their television.
I mean, yeah.
division, but
WandaVision's a whisper in the wind right now.
Yeah.
X-Men is like, hey.
And she's off world.
And she's in X-Men off 97. World. Yeah. So, and oh, speaking of, you caught them on the boat, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So Wanda, Pietro, and Lorna, who we talked about in our Magneto episode, the other daughter of Magnus. So they're all there.
They were on that boat?
They were on that boat with Rogue. Yeah.
In Xavier's mind, in Magneto's mind?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice
it's
that.
It's literally Wanda,
I didn't
Pietro,
notice. I just saw Rogue.
They're shadows.
Okay, well, I mean,
but you can see.
I'm going to pull up the episode on my laptop after we're done recording.
Yeah. It's the twins are together. Oh Rogue my is gosh. The only one in the front, and then yeah. Lorna's. I didn't notice Lorna first.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Lordy, Lordy, Michael Jordy.
Yep. Yeah. So obviously, I think they'll probably start introducing all these folks because, Days of Future Past. And then Shadowcat will probably come in. A little stronger. We'll probably get more Dazzler, some Colossus. You know what I mean? Like
I remember seeing Colossus.
Mm-hmm. And
it's all right.
It's that core gold team 70s Claremont 80s vibe.
Run it back, run it back, run it back. Man.
So yeah. I mean,
man, no, just God, what a great first season.
It makes me so happy. You love it. It makes me so happy.
What a great first season. And we just got Loki season 2.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like not too long ago. And that was like,
that's
wow.
That's also very true. Yeah.
Which is a very great series. But now it's like, oh, X-Men 97. Boom.
Boom.
You looking for this?
Yeah. Well, and it's also kind of interesting, right? If you think about, because when What If really started going, people are like, oh, what if it's tight. Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's great. And I love it. I do love it. Does it hold a candle to X-Men? No. Absolutely not.
The X-Men are in a better light now.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I saw a tweet the other day, you know, like somebody was just riffing and they were just like, and you people who worship the Fox films wonder why we didn't like them.
I think I saw a tweet either today or yesterday. It was like, what X-Men 97 did in one season already has surpassed the X-Men Fox universe.
Entire. Yeah, absolutely. Like
they did the characters so much better.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I see it now. Yeah, like I get it.
Yeah, because even if, you know, as to your point, some things are more difficult to accomplish in live action, they still could have accomplished so much more than they did.
Yeah.
And they didn't, because like many people have said, you don't have to make Wolverine
the center of everything.
The center of the universe, which is what they did.
Yeah.
And so, and Mystique. We haven't even seen Mystique yet.
In X-Men
we all know she's Val Cooper. She's Val Cooper. Like, if she's not Val Cooper, I will eat my Gambit shoe.
Wow. Well,
not really.
That's
need
a bold
shoe.
Take, Con. Let's see if it works out.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we've not even gotten a whiff of Mystique except for maybe one of those intro scenes.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The lineup with Magneto. That's the only thing we've seen of her. But yet, we saw her in every single film.
Yeah. And like in the Fox universe, like,
for 12
there was
years.
One good movie, like, every 5 movies.
If even that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, Origins.
I can't wait to watch it.
Like, the last movie that I can remember that was like people were like, oh, okay, I believe in this, was Days of Future Past.
Yep.
Like, that was it. That's all I can really think of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's like,
it was some time ago.
Yeah.
So it's, well, which is funny to think about, because if they are doing it, it was 10 years ago officially. So if they're going there in the show, we're going to get a course corrected version of it. But again, you know, we've talked about this again in our last few episodes, that from the Sentinels and all that, like, it, Days of Future Past, the film was great. And then now you're starting to get the context of what it could have been from a story standpoint. And it's like, oh, damn. Damn. That's actually pretty good. But yeah. What else do you want to tackle, my friend?
I mean, man. I mean, show is so good.
Yes.
That season finale was insane.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of questions answered, mm-hmm. but a lot of new ones asked, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to find out mm-hmm. what happens next.
Yeah. Oh, so I did have a note here for myself. So speaking of the storyboarding, so Wikipedia has a notation on the X-Men 97 page mm-hmm. that says, quote, unquote, work on the animatics, which animatics are storyboards, yeah. For the first season had begun in November 2021, and full animation began by April 2023.
Wow.
So they got a real late start. Thanks, strikes. That sucks so much. Oh, that's right. Yeah. The first season was in post-production by July.
Okay.
And animatics for the entire second season had been created by March 2024. Mm. So they have been working on animation, or presumably will be working on animation very shortly.
Yeah.
Because if April, May, June, July, so 3 months. So this, yeah, next month should be go time for production as far as animation for season two goes.
Mm.
Which means we could see something, a flicker of something, end of year. Character schematics or something. I don't know. But yeah.
Exciting!
Emphasis on X!
Yes.
Welcome to Homo Superior, Jeff.
I know. I'm about to, next week I'm about to be like, you know what? The Avengers suck, dude. Like, what? Right?
Like, oh
yeah, I'm
God.
Glad Iron Man died.
Now you get it.
I see why Captain America went back in time. He was like, screw this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, dude. Mutant Rising. Ah, welcome to the club. So, next up. With the end of season one officially behind us and the next big release being Deadpool and Wolverine, Jeff and I decided that we were going to pick up our X-Men streak once again with this episode onward and go absolutely ham with character studies. So
yeah, sorry, not sorry.
You know, we've done Avengers adjacent characters. That is true. When we first started the show, we
went ham on Avengers.
And we revisit Spidey for obvious reasons. We love our Spider-Man.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, baby, it's time for the X-Men. So, I can't believe I'm finally saying this. So, finally, next up, my goat of goats, the love of loves. Next up on the show. We're gonna cover the one, the only, Remy LeBeau, aka Gambit.
Who's dead! dead.
How dare you! But I'm just gonna say, my new friend AJ Locasio might have something to say.
Wow.
About all of this.
Wow.
So watch your tone, son.
Dead until proven on screen.
Crying. But yes, join us in 2 weeks' time. We will be talking about the Ragin' Cajun with the Cajun Persuasion.
That's such a good nickname.
It's so good. Oh, welcome to my world. It is Gambit time, my dear.
It makes me want seafood boil so bad.
Bro, I can't even think about Gambit. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go buy me some crab legs. I'm going to get some potatoes.
Like I want,
I'm going to do a deep fry.
Like, I want some juicy like shrimp right now. That's crazy.
Lobster roll, cheddar biscuits with the Cajun seasoning. Some gumbo, some
potatoes,
jambalaya,
corn.
Some beignets.
I can go for some beignets.
Yes. Dude, every time I go to Disneyland and I go to New Orleans Square.
Yeah, you got to.
Oh my God.
You got to.
My thoughts are all in Cajun.
Yeah.
All Cajun.
You're just like, beignets.
Beignets. Cannot wait. Oh, but yes, so join us in a couple of weeks. We'll be talking all things Gambit. Not that I don't already, but this is number one. Like, I have a hard time, you know, when I came out of ASM 2.
Yeah,
I had to sit with myself and I was like, who do I love more, Gwen or Gambit? And I don't know.
Damn.
But that's how it is. It's like that. So we will talk about my dear Remy LeBeau in 2 weeks. But with the end of the show, let's give a holla to our We Are Groot salute. Why am I doing Cajun now? It's not even time.
You're ready.
I'm ready. I've been ready. I was born ready. So thanks for listening, and a special thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, especially the We Are Groot salute: Katie, Melanie, Ed, Joe, Liz, Tyler, Ariel, Ashley, Edgar, Nats, Laura, Chris, Sherry, Jenny, Andrea, Andrew, and Robin. Follow us on social, STRKCNTRST. And if you like what you hear, please feel free to review, rate, and subscribe. It does us so much good, and it's so great, and we love to see that 5-star rating. So
yeah,
if you got a second, please hit that button. And that's it.
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
We will see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
She can't say it, but I can.
I love you, Logan. Stay with me.